This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a lovely Tuesday evening. I'm Tim Murray, joined tonight by my ginger brother, Will Hill, as we get you ready for Christmas Eve, Christmas festivities. We got bowl games. We got a whole lot to get to, Mr. Hill. How are you, sir? Happy holidays to you and yours.
Yes, sir. Timmy, always great to be with you. Merry Christmas. Should be fun. A pretty quiet day on Christmas Eve, so I don't know. It's weird. It's one of those days when you look to tomorrow where you've just been going so hard so long with college football and college basketball and NFL. You don't mind taking a breath, but I would like a little more sports, but we got plenty on tonight with all the sports going on, so should be a fun show.
Whoa. The Hawaii Bowl is tomorrow, boys and girls. Come on now, Will. Don't shortchange.
That's about it, though, right?
As it should be. We will talk some Hawaii Bowl. That is why Matt Eumanns is not with us here tonight. Of course, he had to bookend the season with the Week 0 Hawaii-Stanford game and wrap it up heading out to the island for Hawaii taking on Cal. We'll get some thoughts on that. We've got bowl games going on right now, Western Kentucky and Southern Miss, the New Orleans Bowl still to come tonight, the Frisco Bowl, and it is an evening. If you are in on the NBA, in on the NHL, Will Hill, we've got 26 combined NHL and NBA games, so it is a very busy night in the NBA, in the NHL, and there's one decent college basketball game, by the way, about to get underway, Seton Hall hosting Villanova, so kudos to the Big East for throwing a little early gift our way with a pick'em game between Seton Hall and Villanova.
Yeah, and we've got a Southern Miss right now with a 7-6 lead over Western Kentucky, so it's a little sampler platter, a little appetizer platter, some meats, some cheeses, some appetizers, where a couple of days in the NFL, we'll have the main entrees, but a little bit of this and a little bit of that. As we say that, Southern Miss, it looks like, with a big man interception to put them up first and goal inside the 10. Did you have any interest in this? I lean towards Southern Miss. I didn't pull the trigger. The line kind of got away from me, so having that FOMO now. Did you have anything in this game or the one earlier?
I did not. Well, yeah, that the earlier game, we're going to do some airing of the grievances later on. By the way, if you have any airing of your gambling grievances, let us know at one Tim Murray, at not the Will Hill. It is Festivus, so we will dive into those a little bit later on. But I was flying back from Boise and watching Louisville and Toledo. I had a very early number on Louisville. I laid 6.5 with Louisville. Game closed 12, and they lost by 5. Or won by 5, excuse me. Nothing like, they were up 21-3, Will, and then it was 21-11. Toledo kicked a 51-yard field goal because, of course, and then Louisville goes down and scores. It's 27-14. I'm feeling okay. Just kicked the extra point. We should be in decent shape here. Extra point gets blocked, gets returned for 2, and then Toledo goes and scores a touchdown, of course, to make it 27-22. That, boys and girls, is a Toledo cover of all numbers. So a good start to the holiday season, if you will. So, yes, I did have a bet earlier today on the Louisville Cardinals. And, that was less than enjoyable.
That's a tough one. That's why, hey, I don't know if it's right or wrong. People always ask, when you get ahead of a number by a touchdown, do you play back? Some people say, you know what? No, I got the good bet. I'm going to play out the good number. I respect that opinion, but I usually, just for my own sanity, play back just for a shot in the middle and things like that, man. That's a tough one. Do you think Brohm is taking the Michigan job, by the way? Because that's the latest rumor, where I know in some of the prediction markets, he actually shot up to the favorite over Kyle Whittingham, which I don't see at his age, a guy who's flirted with retirement for the last 5 years. Man, that's really the route you're going to go. So Brohm, I guess, is in the mix. He gave kind of a non-committal answer after. He goes, I don't speak about other jobs. I'm happy with this one and the job we just did, which is, you know, he didn't say, hey, I'm not going to Michigan. He gave a very vague, vanilla answer. I don't know if you have any opinion or have heard anything on that front.
I mean, at this point, somebody's got to take the Michigan job, right? And, you know, Penn State, there was a flirtation with Jeff Brohm, apparently, during that process. Ultimately, as we all know, it led to Matt Campbell. Yeah, for this particular situation, if you're Jeff Brohm, it's your alma mater at Louisville, Do you go to Michigan? And if you're Michigan, boy, this situation, it seemed like they were going to go and grab themselves Kalen DeBoer. Obviously, that is not going to happen. He's going to stay at Alabama. So, yeah, I guess at this point, I don't know who else it would be. I mean, you know, you mentioned Kyle Whittingham. I mean, is that someone that's going to move the needle? What is Kyle Whittingham in his early 60s? And, you know, things have kind of, I feel like, gone south a little bit there at Utah. So I don't know. The Michigan job is one that is pretty perplexing right now when you look at that situation. By the way, under 5 minutes to go, Will mentioned it, Southern Miss getting a turnover and going to the end zone. They will be facing a third down right now. We got a little college basketball on. A busy night in the NBA about to get underway as we have 13 games in the NBA. Some really good ones, by the way. Oklahoma City going to San Antonio. A little revenge, Will, from the NBA Cup semifinal loss for the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight?
Possible. It is not a great spot, though, for the Thunder, who played last night. Now this is the second night of a road back-to-back, who, you know, they haven't faced that many of these, but they faced one. They've had a pretty easy schedule, but they did face one on Friday. After beating the Clippers on Thursday, they had to play at Minnesota on Friday, and they lost a close game. So I would expect them to have revenge on their mind. Remember, they do play the Spurs, I believe, in Christmas here in a couple days. So this is three times in about, what, 10, 12 days that they play the Spurs. I lean towards taking the points just because the Thunder have hit a little bit of a lull, which is weird to say for a 26-3 team. They've played some close games. They've lost a couple close games. Second night of a road back-to-back. I would lean towards taking the 5.5. And Wembanyama, if you watch that Cup semifinal game, which not too many NBA regular season games where I've watched that many of, you know, whole third, fourth quarter. I basically watched the whole second half. Wembanyama was so dominant. I would only look towards the Spurs plus the points, but haven't bet it. I'm curious if you had a thought or an opinion on it.
I'm just sometimes watching these bowl games just makes me laugh. Southern Miss is facing a 3rd and 15, and their wide receiver is just nude, standing right by the first down marker. I mean, not always buttoned up in bowl season, are we? Southern Miss gets a first down. They now have first and goal. No bet there. I did take a little piece of Seton Hall at home as that game just underway, 5-4 lead. Peacock only, by the way, if you're wondering where that game is tonight. So Villanova and Seton Hall. Seton Hall coming off of the big win over the weekend. They went up to Milwaukee, won in overtime over Wisconsin. And Seton Hall has had a quietly strong start to the season. No real wildly impressive results. They did go out to Maui. They lost that game to USC. They were an underdog against NC State in that first round game against the Wolfpack. They won that game outright. So took Shaheen Holloway and his squad as a pick'em at home. So a small play on Seton Hall right now as that game just underway at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. But let's get to our game of the night. It is bowl season. You know that I'm going to be staring and watching these games. So let's get to our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Will Hill, we have the UNLV Rebels taking on the Ohio Bobcats. And right now, UNLV, a 6.5-point favorite, juiced at most spots to minus 15, including here at Circa. DraftKings just popped a 7 in this one. This game will be played at the Star facility down there in Arlington, Texas, the practice facility for the Dallas Cowboys. And UNLV, this was an early bet that I made. I did lay, I think, 4.5 early on in bowl season. So I do have a little bet on UNLV, not massive CLV, no real key numbers here, but I did like UNLV in this spot. Obviously, we have the unique situation, unfortunate situation, however you want to define it, of Ohio's quarterback being fired for cause, for off-the-field issues. UNLV, I'll say this, Will, looking at this game, there were certainly questions about, would Anthony Calandria, first-team All-Mountain West quarterback, transfer from UVA, would he go back into the portal? My gut was, yeah, he probably will. Well, guess what? He is not going in the portal. He has announced he will be returning to UNLV, so he's playing tonight. Their stud running back, Jed Thomas, he is playing tonight as well. So I do like UNLV. 6.5, I still think a little playable at the number. Certainly, you know, you and I hate giving out bad numbers, but I like UNLV in this spot. If you want to find a dance partner, Moneyline Parlay, if you want to do that as well. But I will be in on the UNLV Rebels. And certainly, I think one thing we could tell, Will, watching this game, as the evening goes on, we will be able to determine, hey, who wants to be there, who doesn't want to be there, and we'll be on the air, so might be able to get some in-game opportunities if you want to go it that way.
Yep, don't disagree with any of your handicap. I would lean towards UNLV, too. I'm sure we're going to be doing the show. It's a standalone game, so I will add something on UNLV. Looking at this, I thought it's a game, hey, we can get some points, maybe an over, but you look at it, 65 is a pretty high number to go over. Now, some of these games, they start, and you know what? It's 7-7 before you can blink, and then that 65 doesn't look high enough. Do you have any feel for the total? Should we play a first half over? Is there anything we should do here with a total? Because that's when you have no... I don't know, when you have just looking for some action on a game, sometimes that's a fun one for people. Hey, I just want to bet on points. Not that that's a great strategy, especially in bowl season with all these offensive opt-outs, but I don't know, what was your sense here on the over-under?
Well, I will say, you know, it's funny, we had these this rush of unders, and certainly feels like Western Kentucky Southern Miss is trending under right now in the New Orleans Bowl. That game went off around 59, 59 and a half. It's 10-6 at the half, or closing in on halftime. So your live total in that game is way down to 47 and a half. But, you know, the bowl game I was at yesterday, the Potato Bowl, you saw a late rush of points. That was a bad beat for anyone who had the under in that game. That game felt like it was a dead under game until it wasn't. So you got a late touchdown there. Similarly, in the Louisville-Toledo game, that game felt like it was a dead under until it wasn't. So, you know, maybe it's an opportunity, Will, where if you don't have that pre-flop play, maybe we see how this game is felt out early on, and then we play in-game over. That would probably be the way I would look at this one right now. So 64 and a half is the total in that one. I do have a little play on UNLV at a better number, but still anything under 7 I think is worth it. Or you hang with us all night long and you play it in-game. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Busy night in the NBA. Busy night on the ice. Got college bowl games going on. We got a little college basketball. Stick with us. It is VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We keep it rolling here on a Tuesday evening. I'm Tim Murray at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. That is Will Hill as we keep you up to date on everything going on across the sports world. My buddy Josh Nunn from the Action Network, Step on a Duck 1 on Twitter. He will join us coming up bottom of the hour. We'll get some bowl thoughts, some college football playoff thoughts as well from Josh. Of course, Christmas Day, we will get 3 NFL games. And boy, when you saw this schedule announced during the summer, or I guess in May, Will, you thought, all right, Dallas, Washington, one of the more iconic rivalries. Washington coming off of the big year. Maybe Dallas has a bounce back season, but that one should be fine. Detroit, Minnesota, and then Denver, Kansas City. And now here we sit on December 23rd. We've got Dallas visiting Washington. Washington will be a 7-point home underdog as Josh Johnson will get the start at quarterback. Detroit will be taking on Minnesota. Detroit, who hasn't been officially eliminated from playoffs, but the loss that they sustained to the Pittsburgh Steelers puts them in really, really tough spot to get back into the postseason. But don't worry, they're a 7-point road favorite because Max Brosmer will be the starter for Minnesota. And then it looks like it'll be Chris Oladokun who will get the start for Kansas City as they are 13-point home underdogs. If you like dogs, well, you got 3 home dogs there, Will Hill, on Christmas. What could go wrong? Just put them all together, right?
Yeah, and remember on Thanksgiving, we had all 4 underdogs between Thanksgiving and Black Friday, not only cover, but win outright at something like 100-1 money line parlay. I would imagine if we get any of these bookmakers on, which I think we're going to see who we have coming up.
We have Chuck Esposito coming on at 8 o'clock Eastern. Yeah,
I'm sure if we ask Chuck, hey, when you sit down on Thursday for Christmas, how many money line parlays will involve all three favorites. And if you do the, I just did on DraftKings, comes out to minus 120. So Cowboys, Lions, Broncos, all they have to do is win minus 120. You're going to get plenty of those because people, they don't want to lay the big prices. They don't want to. They want to have action on every game. And that looks just too good to be true. So easy. So I'm sure you'll see plenty of those. And you know what? I couldn't really argue that's not a really good way to go about your business betting wise, where not only one team has to win, not only two, but three all have to win for you to cash your bet. But like, I don't know, does anyone really bust that up? Let me ask you, if anyone busts up that moneyline parlay, who would it be?
Washington?
Yeah, that's probably the one I would go with.
With a lot of Minnesota. A lot of confidence right there, right?
Right.
Oh, man. But yeah, you're right. I mean, how many people will be sitting by the Yule log drinking some eggnog and throwing together this three-leg moneyline parlay? What could possibly go wrong, Will Hill? I mean, nothing could go wrong.
Nothing could go wrong.
I mean, you put Santa's going to bring that and put that in some stockings, and boom, there you go. We're good to go. That's an easy winner. That's a stuffing stocker for your kids, Will. Put that in their stocking. The Dallas-Detroit-Denver three-leg road moneyline parlay against Josh Johnson, Max Brosmer, and Chris Oladokun.
I do think it gets home. I will say, too, boy, it's ugly, and I don't know how you feel. I know you have an appetite sometimes for these ugly dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Last week I thought was a spot to fade Kansas City. I thought they kind of lay down on the road. They just lost Mahomes. They were just eliminated. I could see them playing up this week. Kelsey, his possible last home game. Chris Jones, maybe his possible last home game. Who knows? Might be a different-looking Chief team next year. I think they have one more effort in them at home. A standalone game, a holiday. Not that they're up for it in terms of like they can actually win the game, but man, laying almost 14 on the road with Bo Nix in Denver in a division game, kind of a rivalry game. Andy Reid, I'm sure, will bring out all the tricks. I could see the Chiefs being live in that game and at least covering.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest. Last Saturday, so I do a game day show in Washington, and last Saturday, I talked myself into Washington plus the points. I was like, I think they've got a shot here. And then Mariota gets hurt, and you know, it all goes to hell. But I thought you had an ugly dog in Washington. But I will say, I think we talked about it on primetime last week. The Browns were a very ugly dog, and they were able to get there as a 10.5-point home dog. So, you know, you get these home dogs, there will be plenty of liability, no doubt, on those two particular games. Looking ahead to Saturday, Houston and the Chargers, man, look at that total, 39.5. Houston's defense. Is Houston's defense, Will, the best defense in the NFL right now?
If it's not, it's close, although boy, the Raiders had them dead to right and really should have beaten them, really dominated yards per play. The refs really got involved there, and some of those calls were shaky. Otherwise, the Raiders win straight up as 14.5-point dogs. I just don't know. The Chargers, can they block them? With all of their offensive line issues, that's a bad matchup for me. Like, can you line up and just in you know, all of those monstrous defensive linemen, those front four players for Houston, can you keep those guys in front of you? I'm not sure about that. I would probably – I just think, you know, find someone to tease Houston with,
yeah,
and you're in good shape. I don't know. I probably would pick the Chargers, but that's – like I said, that's a tough matchup. I'll ask you, though. We probably know the 7 playoff teams in the AFC, which is kind of a bummer. We kind of know all of these playoff teams with 2 weeks to go. If you had to pick one AFC team right now to come out of the playoffs, it's an impossible question. You ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers, or I guess 7 people, 7 different answers, only 7 teams. Who would you pick right now to come out of the AFC?
Bills, but okay. They have to go.
Their defense,
though. I know, but they have to go on the road every week. And you're right, the defense is very vulnerable. Don't love, you know, the thought of them being on the road every single game. So right now they would start the postseason at Jacksonville. The Chargers would be at Pittsburgh. Those would be your early round matchups. And then Houston, I mean, you look at the defense. How do you feel about that defense there for Houston against New England? But that all being said, to your point, you know, this was a team that wasn't all that impressive last week against the Raiders.
And if those are the matchups right now, I mean, you're going to have a situation where there's the home teams, the three home teams, or either underdogs or favored by less than a field goal, because Steelers, Chargers, what's that line? Maybe the Chargers by a point or so. I mean, that's basically a toss-up game. You can't make the Patriots more than a field goal favorite over Houston.
And Bills and are
would
definitely.
Buffalo be favored in Jacksonville? That's probably kind of a toss-up game, too. I mean, it's really such a wide-open bracket. I can't remember a conference where.
So who would you take?
Outside of Pittsburgh, I think. Ah, boy. I hate their offensive line, but. You give me the Chargers. I have a coach, I have a quarterback, and I have a really good defense. I don't feel great about it. They could still win the division. I would take a shot with the Chargers. But again, you could talk me into Jacksonville, New England, Denver, any of the seven, even Pittsburgh, which I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. But if Pittsburgh got in, they get a home game, they win one, maybe they win two, and who knows? I think they're the longest shot of the seven. But it's that wide open where six or seven of the seven teams I really think could make a run and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Pittsburgh and Chicago, certainly two teams I think many of us were very hesitant about for a while. And look, Chicago, the way that game unfolded on Saturday night with the onside kick recovery, I mean, just a crazy, crazy finish to that game in Chicago. But I've been impressed by what I've seen the past couple of weeks of Chicago. I've said all along, I felt like they had a horseshoe stuck up their rear end, but they've been playing better. And then similarly to Pittsburgh, I thought Detroit, knowing the desperation that they had being at home off of a loss, all the trends on that side, I thought Detroit at very least, I thought they had a good chance to cover the 6.5, Will. At the very least, if you threw them in a money line parlay, I was going to be stunned if Detroit lost the game. We know how crazy that ending was, but I was very impressed to see Pittsburgh go into Detroit, knowing the circumstance there for Detroit, and to pull off that win on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rodgers has played well. The defense has played better. I thought they were kind of dead a month ago when it looked like Baltimore was getting better and healthier and Pittsburgh was hitting that slump. But it looks like they're going to be right there again in the wild card round. Now, eventually, Tomlin's got to win one of these games. It's been almost a decade since they won a playoff game. But they're going to be there, you would think, with their magic number with one here with a couple weeks. I talked about this with Humans last night. He agreed. I did not like the offensive pass interference call. The second one. The last one was legitimate. And the refs did a bad job explaining it, where they start the announcement with, hey, it's a touchdown. By the way, the game is over and you lost.
Right, yeah.
But the one before the that, play? I thought that was a very touchy call.
Yeah, the pick play. It looked like he kind of was pushed a little bit. And, you know, I guess he's got to act a little bit better, like he's not trying to block the defensive player. But, yeah, I thought that Detroit had pulled it out of the fire. And personally, I wanted it to happen. It would have given us that Pittsburgh-Baltimore Week 18 showdown. It would give it a little more juice to the NFC playoff picture. So I didn't really have a dog in the fight from a betting standpoint. I just wanted Detroit to win to give us more intrigue in these final couple of weeks. Hey, ProfitX, folks, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started. Final couple seconds in the first half of the New Orleans Bowl. Southern Miss, a 10-6 lead, and trying to add to their lead in the closing seconds here of the first half. Speaking of college football, let's talk more with Joshua Nunn. He'll join us next right here on VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Southern Miss hits a field goal as they go into the locker rooms down in New Orleans. The Golden Eagles, a 13-6 lead over Western Kentucky, live 9.5-point favorites, total down to 46.5. And I believe Will Hill, our next guest, is happy to see a rather low-scoring first half, as he had first half under. So a little extra cash in his pockets as he joins us for his hit. It is Joshua Nunn at Step on a Duck One from the Action Network, joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Josh, let's take a look ahead to the college football playoff quarterfinals. I know we still have over a week before these games come to fruition here, but, you know, last year was a unique situation where every team that had the bye ultimately lost. I think it's going to be a little bit different this year after what we saw unfold this weekend. Looking ahead to the quarterfinal round, anything that you immediately felt like you had to play once those numbers popped?
Well, I think it could be a little this time around as well. Last year, you could argue that the four best teams were playing on the opening round of the college football playoff, and they made changes to the format this year to avoid having that situation play out again. I mean, I could see Texas Tech having a real strong showing. I still think that defense is top five in FBS and very underrated unit. You look at what Miami did going into College Station and completely shutting down that Texas A&M offense, and that defensive line showed up and the front seven was nasty. And I feel like maybe the Hurricanes could at least replicate some of that success against Ohio State. Neither one of those offenses are going to operate very fast. They both can struggle at times with garnering explosive plays. And if that Canes front seven plays like they did against Texas A&M last weekend, they could be providing some real trouble for Ohio State. I lean under in that matchup. I have not gotten to the window yet, but I might. I like Texas Tech, guys. I think Texas Tech is going to defeat Oregon.
How about Georgia Ole Miss? On one hand, I believe they played, you know, in middle of the season, the line was about what it is. So you're really adjusting 3-4 points for the fact that Georgia's played well. And no Lane Kiffin, that being said, I don't know that I want a piece of Ole Miss in this game. How do you look at Georgia versus Ole Miss in this one?
Well, Ole Miss showed up really well in the first round of the playoffs against Tulane, really replicated success that they had in week three against Tulane this season. And I look at the Georgia game against Ole Miss in the regular season, and Ole Miss had those guys on the ropes. They were up into the fourth quarter. It took 17-0 in the fourth quarter for Georgia to really start to pull away in that one. But I wonder if Ole Miss can give these guys a game again. I mean, these guys are showing up. They've really rallied the troops. I like that the DC Golding is still there. And I think that these guys really want to prove that this is a really legitimate team, despite their head coach leaving on them. I don't know. They looked pretty buttoned up in the last round. Much, much different task here. But I still wonder if this Georgia defensive front is going to be able to rattle Chambliss and really continue to see the negative plays pile up in their favor. I don't know if we see that here. I kind of think Ole Miss gives them a game.
Joshua Nunn, Step on a Duck One is where you can find him on Twitter, Action Network, also Big Bets on Campus podcast. Make sure you check that out. They're doing bowl previews right now. I was actually listening in on my drive to work to your latest episode, and you were going over the bowl games that'll be unfolding here this weekend. So let's jump into a game that is pretty intriguing on December 27th. This Saturday, we've got the Pop-Tarts Bowl down in Orlando. BYU taking on Georgia Tech. BYU only two losses on the year, both coming to Texas Tech. And then you've got the Georgia Tech Rambling Wreck, who have played pretty well this year, albeit in the ACC, some ups and downs. Right now, BYU either a 4.5-point favorite, Duck, in this one.
Yeah, very, very underrated bowl game, and one where I do expect both teams to show up and care about this game. Haynes King looks like he's going to give it a go for Georgia Tech in this one. Their stud receiver, Eric Rivers, will also give it a go. Still TBD on if their starting center is going to play. They're going to have a couple other guys on the offensive line that could be out. Could be some defensive players for Georgia Tech as well that may or may not suit up. For BYU, sounds like everybody's going to go in this one. LJ Martin's going to show up and play. Bear Bachmeier is going to work through some injury and play in this one. And it really is just a high culture situation. Kalani Sitake has this bunch showing up, and this game will matter to the BYU Cougars. I think we'll see BYU use two tight end sets, put big on big, and I think they'll run the ball against this Georgia Tech defense. And I don't know that the Yellow Jackets can do anything about it. They were 88th in overall defensive success rate, 77th in rushing success rate allowed, just 106th in havoc secured was Georgia Tech. You look at the front seven, which produced 26 sacks this year for Georgia Tech, but half of those sacks were in two games against Pitt and Gardner-Webb. I don't know that we see a lot of negative plays generated, and I just cannot get some of the Georgia Tech defensive performances out of my mind this year against bad ACC teams, against Wake Forest, against Boston College, against Pittsburgh. They just got thrashed, and I could see BYU in the late stages of the third quarter and beyond really pushing these guys around and playing bully ball.
Duck, if you look at the sports calendar for Christmas Eve tomorrow, it is pretty barren. I would imagine the Hawaii versus Cal game does basically the same handle as the Super Bowl. Who do you like? Hawaii's been flipped to like a 1.5 point favorite. Totals come down to like 50.5. Always wind can be an issue in those Hawaii games. Side total, give me your thoughts.
Well, Hawaii's constituents and their fans have been starved for winning football for some time. This is the first bowl game for Hawaii under Timmy Chang. We have a unique element here because Cal is going to be coached by Nick Rolovich, who quarterbacked at Hawaii and coached Hawaii some time ago. I think Hawaii shows up here. I think this is a massive situational edge for Hawaii on Christmas Eve in front of their home fans in their home stadium to show up. Micah Alejado is going to be throwing the ball around here. I think their defense is still continuing to be underrated, particularly on the island. These guys show up, and I think it'll be a real fun game. It'll be absolute must-watch television while you're sitting around the Christmas tree opening presents on Christmas Eve. But I think Hawaii is going to win this game. Could come down to special teams. We've seen a lot of these bowl games up to this point come down to special teams play. Just go ask Oklahoma how that worked out for them. And maybe the wrong guy won the Lou Groza award this year. Maybe it should have been the Tokyo Toe. I think he'll kick a field goal late. Hawaii will win by three.
Kansei Matsuzawa, baby. We saw him win the game season opener down there or over there, I should say, against Stanford. I like that we've come together on this one, Josh. I know it took a while. You know, I was a little bit more bought in on the Bows, but we'll all be together on Christmas Eve sweating this one out. All right, a Service Academy playing in a bowl game is usually an auto bet, but there's a reason this thing has been bet by like 12 points right now. And I'll say this, in Will Hill's neck of the woods, I am surprised to hear that Skylar Bell, the All-American wide receiver, said, I'm going to play. Now, who's going to throw him the football? Because Joe Fagnano is not going to play in the Fenway Bowl. I do have an early bet on Army. I laid $1.40 on the money line before this thing got out of control. How do you look at this one at Fenway Park with a total of 44 on Saturday?
Well, nothing has changed in my handicapping more drastically when you look at preseason prep, week-to-week wagering, in-season, and then postseason play than in bowl games. I used to fire away early when the sheet would come out on the Sunday after conference championship weekend, and I just cannot lock into these bowl games at the current time because the opt-outs, the coaching changes, who's going to show up, who's going to bow out early. Getting the participation report nailed down is such a critical part of it for me that I am just having to wait as long as I can until I know who's playing or who's not playing. Part of the conceit that remains is service academies are showing up. Army, Navy, Air Force, when they get to a bowl game, they're not going to have the distractions. They're not going to have the participation opt-outs. They generally rarely have coaching changes at this point in the calendar. And so I like betting on service academy teams, but my goodness, just look at Connecticut. They've already had a staff change. A lot of the guys that were on Jim Mora's staff have already gone with him or looked elsewhere. Fagnano may not play. Second string quarterback Nick Evers may not play. Running back is out. We might have three or four starting offensive linemen that may be out for Connecticut. I just don't see it going well for UConn here in this battle. I think Army will show up. They will be sound on defense. They've gotten a little bit healthier on the defensive side. Still not explosive as you would have expected an Army team to be. They lost a lot of talent from last year's explosive team, but I think Army will dominate the time of possession. They'll run for 3 or 4 yards at a time. They will grind out possessions. They'll win the game and cover, and I like the full game to stay under the posted total.
Last 30 seconds, who wins it all? National champion.
I will say that Texas Tech will defeat Georgia.
Ooh, I like it. Like it. A little spicy there. Hey, Josh, always appreciate your insight, man. Happy holidays to you and yours, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
There he is. Joshua Nunn.
Merry Christmas.
From the Action Network, giving us his thoughts there. And, I like it. Texas Tech. I don't hear it all that often. I like hearing a little bit something new. So Texas Tech to win the national title. That is, I mean, it's the closest spread in the quarterfinal round, but that was the game when the bracket came out, Will. I said, ooh, Oregon, Texas Tech. That's the game I'm looking most forward to. The Orange Bowl, New Year's Day, noon kick down there in Miami.
Fascinating game. We deserve it. We had that was a rough Saturday. Tulane, James Madison, that was a complete waste of time. Hopefully these quarterfinal matchups are better, and I think they will be.
All right, let's get you updated on some of the NBA going on. We got a halftime in the bowl season, so we'll dive into all of that on the other side. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, Will, I always get in trouble doing these live betting shows, especially on nights that are rather slow. Not that tonight is slow, but, you know, it's not Monday Night Football. It's not Thursday Night Football. I find myself getting in trouble because I've been watching this Western Kentucky Southern Miss game, the New Orleans Bowl. Didn't have a pre-game bet on it. Southern Miss went off as around 2.5-point favorites. Played out the first half, and you look at the stats, and it was just wildly dominated by Southern Miss. They outgained them 265-84. This is a Western Kentucky team that didn't seem like they could complete a forward pass. So I laid a little 9.5 full game. So what would that be? 3 in the second half here. So or 2.5 in the second half. What could go wrong? Give me the Southern Miss Golden Eagles playing for their new coach. You know, unique situation, right? Blake Anderson was on the coaching staff. He has been promoted with Charles Huff leaving to go to Memphis. So took a little bit on the Southern Miss Golden Eagles here, and we'll see if Braylon Braxton and company can continue to flourish down there in New Orleans.
All right. Friends don't let friends bet alone. I'm going to go under 13.5 for the third quarter. If you have access to BetRivers, it's actually you can get 14 minus 136, but I'm at DraftKings minus 110 here for the 13.5. I think that's okay. Should we do the tie for the third quarter? It's plus 390. Is that enough, or has this just been too dominated by Southern Miss for them to
tie? I hope
not.
I don't want to. Can I get an easy winner? I mean, you know, Duck and I were just talking about it. We commiserated off the air. We'll be doing the airing of the grievances later in the program. By the way, if you have any grievances, let us know at Not The Will Hill, at One Tim Murray. Gambling grievances here on Festivus. But the Louisville getting the best of the number. The old CLV, man, that is there is nothing better in bowl season than getting CLV and just losing outright on all numbers, right? So Louisville, great CLV, doesn't get there. Toledo ends up getting the cover. But I hope it's not a tie in the third quarter. But I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, you do you. You love those third quarter unders, third quarter tie bets. So I would feel bad if it ended in a tie and you didn't take it. So you got to do what you got to do.
You know, it's funny. Time flies. It's hard to believe we're already week 17 of the NFL. For this college football game, they're showing a preview, like trying to sell tickets for the conference tournament.
Okay.
For the college basketball for Conference USA, March 10th to March 14th. And in my head, I'm like, that's so far away. It's like, you know, 4 or 5 months away. But you look up, it's almost New Year's. I mean, it's going to be that time before you know. We're only a couple of months away from that. So just incredible how quickly time goes sometimes.
We got conference play going on. By the way, coming up top of the hour, Chuck Esposito from Stations Casino. So Chuck joined me every Saturday on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. And every Saturday he came on and said, well, we're going to be needing the opponent of UNLV. And it's great that we have him on today because for those who don't know, Stations Casino is a local casino. You can only bet it in the state of Nevada, mostly based out of here in Vegas. We got a number of spots across town. And it is a very locally centric betting operation, and the locals have loved them some UNLV. So I imagine when Chuck comes on, he's going to let us know that they are very much needing the Ohio Bobcats tonight. So we will see how that plays out. Also, it is also worth noting, Will, that almost every Saturday, the most lopsided ticket count in college at Stations lost. The winning percentage was through the roof, like 80-something percent. And guess who was the number one ticket count this previous Saturday?
So wait, this is college basketball or college football?
College football.
College football number one ticket count this previous Saturday was probably. So they all lost, you said?
They tend to lose. Yes, Oregon was 77% of tickets.
Yeah.
I nicknamed Chuck the professor because he would come on, he'd give us answers to the test. You just had to listen to the way it was playing out. So the New Orleans Bowl, we're about to kick off second half down there. Southern Miss, a 13-6 lead. I laid 2.5 in the second half with the Golden Eagles. What could possibly go wrong? So that's full game minus 9.5. And you are going with third quarter under 13.5. Is that right?
I am. So hopefully we run the ball. We get some punts. know what I like about these third quarter unders? There's no 2 minute warning. Mm-hmm. These teams aren't necessarily trying to score before the end of the quarter. So if you get just a couple of, if you just get like a good 3-4 minute stretch to start the quarter where nothing happens, or you get a couple first downs and a punt, you're usually in pretty good shape. I don't like the fact that Southern Miss, the better team here, starts with the ball, but I am going to take the under 13.5 as the kickoff is into the end zone. We get a touchback and we are underway here to start the third quarter. Let me ask you, as somebody who loves college football, you are as diehard as it gets. Are you into the bowl season still? Are you less into it? I mean, these games, from a matchup standpoint, you know, Kennesaw versus Western Michigan and you know, Western Kentucky versus Southern Miss, these are not the most appealing games. Are you still as into it as you were 5-10 years ago, or is your interest taking a little bit of a hit?
I think my interest has certainly taken a little bit of a hit. I don't know how it couldn't, right, with the way it's played out, especially when you look at some of the Power Four teams and, you know, their level of interest, all the coaching movement, a lot of the player opt-outs. Look, I just did sidelines on Monday for Washington State and Utah State. Both those teams were into it. It was not the most well-executed game you will ever watch, but it was cool to see how into it both those teams were from just an expectation level. But no, it's hard to say that you're as locked in as you once were, knowing just with the expansion of the playoff, the teams that miss out on the playoff, where their head's at, and then, you know, with the portal being what it is nowadays. Even though it's not open yet officially, a lot of these players, understandably so, are not going to risk injury in a bowl game if they have all, you know, intent to join the portal. So, yeah, it's hard to be as locked in. I will say, I think tomorrow night's game with Hawaii and Cal, I think it should be pretty intriguing. A lot of opt-outs. We heard Duck, and I echo those sentiments. I think Hawaii is going to be very geeked up for that game. I think the atmosphere is going to be pretty good. So, you know, you can pick and choose. But, you know, Will, it's hard to be as locked in as, you know, we once were for these bowl games. I guess I'll volley it back to you. I would imagine you're echo similar sentiments on that.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's football. It's on TV. We can watch it. We can bet it. So it's still something. But on the other hand, you know, we're old enough to remember. And I don't miss the old ways that much because I like the 12-team playoff. I like that more than the old system. But you can remember when the bowl season was great and you wake up New Year's Day and you had 5 or 6 just awesome bowl games and it was great. And just that, it's been cannibalized to the point where it's not the same. It's really not the same. And unless you're betting, man, these games are really tough to watch. But we do bet, so it does obviously you know, add a little spice to it.
All right, so we got our eyes on that. Good and bad. It was a 3-and-out for you, Will, Southern Miss. However, it only took a minute off the clock, so a very fast 3-and-out. So Maverick McIver is now in for Western Kentucky, so we'll see if he shows some life here for Western Kentucky as they make a quarterback change. In their first play, they get a pretty big chunk, so I already hate my bet very very strongly, just like that. All right, let's get to some breaking news here. The NFL has upheld DK Metcalf's 2-game suspension, so he will miss Pittsburgh's final 2 regular season games at Cleveland and against the Baltimore Ravens in Week 18. Metcalf now set to lose $555,000, as this is not going to be good for Will Hill's first half, third quarter under, unless that is an actual fumble. Is it a fumble? Oh, my goodness. This might have been an early Christmas gift for you me. Wow. Is he going to be down or is he? All right, so let me set the stage here. Western Kentucky hits their tight end. He is wide open across the middle of the field. Looks like he's going in for a touchdown. Did he fumble? Well, based off of the body language, I would say it was a fumble. Southern Miss recovered in the end zone. So let's watch this. Does it get punched out? It sure does. It gets punched out. Southern Miss recovers in the end zone. A early Christmas gift, it seems, to Will Hill and myself, as it looked like that would have been a double negative, even though I know double negatives make a positive. But that would have been a very unfortunate play for both of our bets. So we'll take it.
Yeah, and that fumble looks good. He wasn't down. He wasn't in the end zone. It's funny, with one hand, he's fighting off one defender with a stiff arm, which kind of left him vulnerable to another defender coming up and punching at the ball. And not only does he lose the ball, but it goes in the end zone for a touchback. So it's not like he even pinned Southern Miss their own one. So we are right back to where we started from 2 minutes ago, where Ole Miss or Southern Miss starts from their own 20. And a big bullet dodged here for both you and I here. So an early Christmas present, as you said.
Yeah. All right. Just a reminder, speaking of holiday gifts, if you're looking for one or a smarter way to bet the biggest games this year, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get every best bet, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. We'll go behind the counter next.